Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's it. You are officially out of control.
Hi, welcome to another Friday edition of the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa D.M. Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling. Bonsoir.
Right.
Comment allez-vous, Papa?
She knows 9 words of French.
And I'm going to use all 9.
I know that's right. We know where she had been all week.
On the Champs-Élysées.
Okay.
On the beach, hello.
That's okay.
It's been a good week.
That's
how was your week, Kevin?
I can't complain. I've been with the Latino guy.
Oh, my.
Talking Spanish. Como te amas?
Oh.
And
beans and rice.
Right now.
Okay. Arroz con pollo.
Spicy beans and rice.
Watch out now.
Kick, 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 kick.
Uh-oh. See, here we go. What you been up to, Papa?
I'm just doing a normal life.
Living a normal life. Okay.
Yeah, normal by what standard?
All right, now. Any means necessary, I guess.
There you go. All right. Well, you want to get it started? Get the party started?
You might as well. We got a lot to cover, so let's get into it.
All right. What we got on the rundown tonight, Kettle?
All right. Hot topics tonight. Cosby gets 3 to 10 years, unfortunately. American Bar Association calls for the FBI probe, and White House orders FBI probe on Kavanaugh. Hit it and quit it headline. Crisis hotline calls increased 200.
Night edition of the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
All
yes.
Right. Parlez vous français?
Oui, oui.
C'est très bien. Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir.
At least, regardless of shock, you got some lait.
Okay.
That means,
go ahead, say it.
That means what?
Get it over with.
That means what?
It sounds sexy as hell, but all it's saying is, at least we're going to shock you, Guasson Le. It means Alice, get the cat off the table.
Okay.
But a French guy will get them draws on something crazy like that. Oh, mademoiselle, vous 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 vous.
I don't know what he said, but it sounds so sexy.
Okay.
Yes.
I see you had halations, though.
That's how it works. Anyway.
It's been one of those weeks.
Yes, it has. It's been one of those years, for real, for real.
It's been a rough one.
We're
going to get it in. Y'all ready?
Yeah, we're going to make it through to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Yep.
Ooh, if the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Same, old folks is saying.
Tonight I want to be there.
Yeah.
Is that ready to get into this rundown?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought Papa was having a flashback over there.
No, that's a group called the Persuaders.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sounds like a Negro spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to let y'all be the weird news on this. This is the first,
this the first half. This is the weird news, y'all. We're going to flip it up a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
We got to lighten it up a little bit already, as I always say. But it's all good.
All right. What you got for us tonight, Joe?
All right. Hot off the press, for sure. Our beloved president.
Love it.
Excuse me, Donald.
Yeah, I know. You had to choke on that one.
Donald Trump is in the hospitals, unfortunately, with the COVID-19 virus. Also, Breonna Taylor, grand jury recordings released. And voting rights advocates are being sued. Okay, for our hit it and quit it headline. Google to pay $1 billion over 3 years. Interesting story. Trump tries to court black voters. Also, 20,000 workers test positive COVID-19. And German privacy watchdog finds H&M for $41 million. They back in the news again. Our cocktail of the week, that's a big surprise to all of us. What's popping with Papa Didi? Our weird news. I think we already started that. We may get to that. We have time. I'm just saying, with red wine, living for the city with Papa Didi, my Hollywood rapper. I got a few surprises. Our kissing list and the last word. Sit back, relax, get your favorite cocktail, and we'll be back with the hot topic.
All right, welcome back to Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And red wine.
He left the room.
Yeah. We're taking apps. Anyway, our first hot topic is your boy, number 45, Donald Trump, red wine. I think he's on his reelection committee. Anyway, Donald Trump was hospitalized today with COVID-19. Now, 50% of the people are having symptoms to form and send them all kind of letters and accolades and things like that and well wishes and all that. And the other 50% are saying it's a host, a fake, same old jazz, trying to, you know, manipulate the public, trying to grab some sympathy points, trying to get out of the next debate, whatever you do, however you want to shake it. You know, Trump does what he does to do what he does. Anyway. Donald Trump was flown by helicopter, which is about an eight-minute ride, to Walter Reed Hospital over here in Bethesda Friday. Hours after announcing that he and First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19, all right? Soon after, one of his longest-serving aides with whom he has recently traveled also received a positive test result. And what was her name?
Hope Hicks.
Hope Hicks, yeah. That nice looking chick, he'd be walking around smelling her butt all day. So I knew after a while he'd catch some of that little whatever she had because he's so close to her. Anyway, that's just my theory. Okay, the situation's raised and many questions about how long the president has been infected. You know, the different people have seen him walk around without a mask, as you know, at his different, his old banquet speeches. You know, rallies, you know, he gets up there and he talks like he's a comedian live on stage on HBO or something. A whole other side of him comes out. And he always says the us and the we and it is and that, like we live in two separate Americas. You know, you're the president run the whole country, but when you talk at your rallies, you're talking about the we and the them. And it's like we live in, you know, it's crazy. Anyway, the president's physician, his name is... Sean Conley, C-O-N-L-E-Y, it looks like James Bond, said in a memo Friday afternoon that the president is fatigued. I think he's fat. He's fatigued, but remains in good spirits. They also said that he's of an older nature. He's 74 years old. Some people are saying he's also obese. Conley also said that the antibody cocktail dose that he mixed up for the president should kick in, and hopefully, along with taking vitamins, that he will subside this, and he'll come out on the positive or the negative side of things. All right, test has come back negative for Vice President Mike Pence and his wife,
Karen.
His wife Karen, yeah.
Hi, Karen.
And Ivanka Trump and her husband. What's his name? The boy.
Garrett.
They don't talk much, but he talks when
Garrett
he wants
Kushner.
To talk. Trump's senior advisor, his name is, I guess they're talking about Jared Kushner, and Barron Trump. That's a 14-year-old son.
Oh, okay.
He's 14 of, yeah, of Ivanka. Hey. That's the, what is that, the third, fourth baby mama? How many baby mamas he got?
Three.
Is it three?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I thought it was four.
I don't know.
Okay.
Unless he knocked up some of those strippers. Oh, excuse me.
Ooh, I thought it was four. Got the one by his wife. Then he got the first wife with the two kids.
That was more than that.
Then he's got, what about the girls?
Marla Maples?
Marla Maples.
One.
Oh, is that that girl?
That's Tiffany.
Tiffany, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the girl on the Addams Family. Not Addams Family. Yeah. What's her name? Marie or?
Oh, anyway. Marilyn.
Marilyn, yeah. She's like Marilyn on the Addams Family. She's never around. She's like, Dad, just send me a check.
It's only been three. Ivanka Trump, Marla Maples, and Melania Trump.
Hmm.
That's it.
As we know, now if Barack would have came in with three baby mamas,
then he would have never got in.
He'd been ran out of
town. Trump's trash about everybody else, but he got three baby mamas.
Mm-hmm.
You go figure.
Yeah.
Like him blonde and young.
He sure does. He definitely has a type.
Well, the positive Corona-19 diagnosis is keeping the president from an in-person campaigning for now. Planning events around the country have been canceled. It's unclear when the president will resume and get back on his normal schedule. According to administrative officials, Vice President Mike Pence is at the Naval Observatory and remains in good health. Anyway, White House communicator, what's her name? Ashley Farrell?
I forgot her name. Another blonde.
She confirmed the president has not transferred power to Pence. That's a little blonde chick. That, you know, it's so interesting. Now I'll talk about this later on. This is his type of ladies, you know what I mean?
Because
the girl, even his personal photographer, who got in the caravan tonight when they were going to the hospital, she got on the helicopter as well as got into his... And she's got the same look. She's blonde with a.
Yeah.
So he has his lookers around him. You know what I mean?
He has got that.
He's got that wandering eye.
Even if he's not screwing them, he still has a type.
Yeah, well, who knows? You never know.
Even if
never
he's not
know.
Personally involved with them.
Never know.
Ooh, boy.
Never know. Who's zooming in?
You guys need a wine. I'm sorry.
You guys are not wishing your president the best?
You know, I'm not wishing no bad, you know, bad health on him at all. That's not godly, nor is it respectful. But I wish he has a good recovery and all.
Okay.
Wish that he sees the karma in this.
Yeah.
You know, wish that he sees everything that he's talked about or done or said and people he down or disrespected and all that. You know, what goes around comes around. Everything you do in the dark comes to the light, so hopefully you realize that situation. But in the meantime, hope the brother shakes it. Hope he's not BSing people. But
yeah, that's what
you never know with him. You don't know if this is a planned strategy move by, you know, the whole move. Let's go for some sympathy for the next 10, 15 days while we ease the young lady up into the, you know, Supreme Court, whatever. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, they had to wait and see.
Well, they still got to go through all the confirmation hearings and all of that. So.
Yeah, but that ain't going to take long. You know, if they don't have nothing on her, then they really can't say nothing about her. So, that, you know, she...
Well, did you know that she had previously tested and had coronavirus?
Who?
The justice that he just brought nominated.
No,
or
well, that's not an issue.
Yeah, what's her name? Coney Barrett? Whatever her name is, I was reading something earlier that said that she had coronavirus earlier
because
she was standing right up there with him with no mask.
No mask, yeah.
Right next to him.
Yeah, that's their thing. That's what they do. Whatever Democrats are doing, they're doing the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so childish.
Yeah. So they said he has mild symptoms.
Well, he said that.
Headache.
You know,
I'm saying that's what his people are saying.
yeah, we can believe that.
They said Melania is just having a headache and a little cough.
Yeah.
But all I know is that's how it started with mostly everybody who's had this virus.
But that's what they said.
In the beginning stages, and for many people, it escalated.
So you believe this? Or?
I don't know what to believe.
Well, I know
they lie so much, so don't put that lie out in the universe. They lie so much, it's hard to know what to believe.
Yeah, I know. Should they
would like to hope for common decency that they would not lie about something this serious. Mm-hmm. But who knows with them. Mm-hmm. All right, you got anything else on it? I saw the helicopter take him away, and that's the last I saw.
No,
that's what everybody kept looking at. I'm like, okay, why are we looking at this? We don't have nothing else to do but look at this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, well, that's all we have for that story. Move on.
All right, who's up next?
You are Red Wine.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about Breonna Taylor. The grand jury audio recordings were released today, finally, after some delays that have gone on. But the officers involved in the botched raid where Breonna Taylor was killed, according to the recordings, they announced themselves as the police multiple times before they forced their way into the apartment. And this is, again, according to the recordings from the grand jury testimony. Now, I'm going to stop right there and just say, if you're announcing yourselves and you're outside and the people you're announcing yourselves to are inside and sleep, what is that announcement really doing? I mean, unless you are, like, yelling at the top of your lungs, waking up the whole neighborhood, how do you think that they, how can you say for sure that, well, we did announce ourselves and I guess they didn't hear us? I mean, come on. Anyway. The unusual court-ordered disclosure provides what Attorney General Daniel Cameron, that's your boy, called a complete picture of the events surrounding her death. So the police are saying, we did announce the first couple of times because our intent was not to hit the door. Our intent was to give her plenty of time to come to the door. And this is what Officer Mattingly said in an interview with another police sergeant. I'm like, okay, so the police are interviewing the police. Okay.
Are you serious?
That's what he said in an interview with another police sergeant. Cameron, that's the attorney general, said that the officers were justified in opening fire after Taylor's boyfriend unleashed. That's a funny word, after he unleashed the first shot.
Mm.
He fired one time on what he thought were intruders. But they say unleashed the first shot, you know, like it was a barrage of gunfire or something, which wounded Mattingly. The boyfriend, Breonna's boyfriend, and his lawyer are saying that, again, he stands by his testimony that he did not know that these intruders were the police. Now, Mattingly says the officers believed that Taylor was probably there alone. So I go back to what I said a few weeks ago. They anticipated her to be there all by herself, but they came in there with the strength to intimidate her.
Well, were they coming for her or for the boyfriend?
But what were
they
coming,
coming for her
in the beginning?
They claimed it was some kind of a drug bust, drug raid or something like that. Not a bust, but a drug raid.
But I think I did hear something. I could be wrong. Something about the boyfriend. He had been in jail before. And I thought it was related to him. That's why,
No, they came there for her. They said it in the testimony. They anticipated her being there alone.
Wow.
They weren't coming looking for him. They didn't even expect him to be there.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, they're giving all their information in the recordings about how they had knocked and, you know, this and that. And when nobody responded, they said they waited what they felt like was 45 seconds, if not a minute. And then they said, all right, let's go, let's breach it, meaning let's, you know, break the door and kick the door in or whatever. So then the lieutenant told the investigators that he heard gunshots as soon as Mattingly leaned into the dark apartment. Now, the attorney general says the grand jury was presented with a thorough case of all the information. Now, of course, you know, Cameron has come under fire for his role, for the way the whole thing was handled.
Mm-hmm.
He had been given 2 days to redact any personal information from the recordings before everything was released, because normally these things are always kept secret.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that he was confident that once the public listened to the recordings, that they would see that his team presented a thorough case to the Jefferson County Grand Jury, and that the grand jury was given a complete picture of the events surrounding Ms. Taylor's death on March 13th. So he's saying they complied with the order, and they did it rather than challenging it. He's saying that they went along with it, even though he dragged his feet. They went along with the request to release the tape so that the full truth could be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the whole thing is just messy.
Well, let me just read what I just pulled up about why they entered her apartment.
Okay.
The police had been investigating two men who they believed were selling drugs out of a house that was far from Mrs. Taylor's home. But a judge had also signed a warrant allowing the police to search Ms. Taylor's residence because the police said they believed that one of the men had used her apartment to receive packages.
So some random man was receiving drugs at her house.
So I think they're not telling the whole story. They must have been, from my understanding, how would you know if somebody's trafficking drugs or whatever in there? Maybe you were surveilling the house. So everything is not being said, I believe. Is that what you're about?
Either that or they had a snitch who told them that. I mean, where'd they get that from?
You know, I don't know, man. I just see so many, and this has got nothing to do with Breonna Taylor at all, but I just see there's just so much stuff around this here that I don't really understand. You know, there's just, the whole raid to me is based on, you know, it's probably a fact of newsy neighbors
mm-hmm.
in apartments that are just blabbing their mouth about stuff
right.
and what have you. And then, you know, what gets me, too, is the boyfriend, you know, to fire the weapon like that, despite
mm-hmm.
what he thought like that. I mean, you know, once you pull the trigger on a gun, man,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You got to deal with any consequences that come after that, whether even if it was, you know, it was robbery or whatever.
Yeah, but it was registered too. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying what type of gun it was, whatever the situation was. But at this point right now, whatever suspicions they had or conspiracy theories that the cops was going on, once that bullet was fired, man, it was game over. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, them cops is going to like, even though they could have been wrong as two left shoes. You know,
mm-hmm.
but once that bullet was fired, if he did fire that gun first, you know, the first thing they want to do now is defend themselves. But I don't understand the fact of they shooting through through blinds that was closed. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's dangerous. You could have shot anybody in there with that situation. That was very ill-advised.
Right.
And the best thing you could do, also, in my opinion, if somebody's shooting out of there. The best thing for you to do, if you're not SWAT or nobody professionally trained to go in there and breach a place for real, you should retreat and fall back and now set up a perimeter and then set up a negotiating team if nobody was injured and then do it that way. But everybody was just like slap happy, you know, let's pull the trigger and let's just go in and fire at will and bullets ain't got no names on them. And the end result was that situation. But I just think that whole thing was handled.
Yeah.
Wrong all the way around. It was responded wrong, it was handled wrong, and the young lady got the worst of it, you know, got all of it.
But you mentioned that before as far as negotiating teams, they don't have those anymore, it seems like.
Well, they probably do, but nobody gives them a chance to get ready. Negotiating teams ain't sitting in the police station waiting to be called.
No.
They're like, you know, a specialty doctor. You go in the emergency room and you got some kind of situation. They got to call a doctor to come and help you. You may get there 8 o'clock the next morning.
Right.
But if anybody, whoever's on that emergency room is not qualified, then your spleen's not going to be taken out until the proper doctor can come to take it out. But
right.
but they nobody takes the time to wait for anything anymore. It's almost just like go at will and do your thing. And then cops get together in a corner after it happens and everybody makes up their story.
Right. That's
and
that's
they just talk. And it's like the...
Yeah.
You know, so...
I mean, because my thing is, they're not going to admit that it's an accident. But let me just say this last paragraph, and we'll go to the caller. The 8-page LMPD report reinforces, however, that Taylor was not the main target of the narcotics investigation, which initially centered around other individuals accused of selling drugs. So
they came to her place.
They had the warrant for her place. But I think, like Papa Didi said, that neighbors, everybody talking, oh, I see them running drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Weed, you know, stuff like that.
That will start a whole rumor and everything.
But to me, you should have taken the time to see who comes in and out of there. I think they just got the warrant. They didn't do
and
any surveillance and bum rushed.
And just,
you know,
it just was ugly.
They actually made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need to, they admitted it with the $12 million, I guess. I don't know. But
and them three guys there, one was a cop, one was a detective. What they have in common?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a cohesive group of people that was a SWAT team or a group of detectives or a group of cops. You know, when it comes to cops and detectives and everybody, those are three different levels of law enforcement.
It just sounds like they just got them randomly that night. But let's go ahead with the call and what they got to say.
All right, let's go to the line. Let's see. Bring the caller up. Caller, hello, hello.
Yes, how y'all doing?
Great, what's your comment?
Okay, my comment is they have two different scenarios to that incident. Okay, they had one scenario said that it was another place that they were watching, but the boyfriend was frequently going there. That was a drug activity. So what they did, they was watching him, and they end up finding where he'd be at her place. That's why they had the search warrant. Okay. Now a neighbor comes up. They didn't show this part anymore. But I seen it again last week. A neighbor seen it all. A neighbor was going in, and the police did say the recording. They talking to the police. The neighbor was talking to the police. No, and did you hear the police announce themselves? And the neighbor said, yes, they announced themselves before they went in. But you don't hear no more about that.
Now, is this the same neighbor who at first said he did not hear anything?
And then by the third interview,
they changed their mind.
He said they announced themselves. Then he say, then the guy shot at them because they told him, go on in your place. He say he was looking out the window at all of it when the cavalry start coming. Like two police cars, then they had the big tank and all that stuff start coming in. He say, we're watching all.
I'm just having a hard time putting all these pieces together. I think everybody is.
The part that's puzzling me, how does this pop up? First, you have to have a case, you get over the civil case in order to come up with a settlement and give somebody some money.
That's
it's gonna
true.
Pop up and give this woman some $12 million. See, come on now. They're trying to come up something.
Yeah. And in order to get a search warrant, when you go to the judge and request a search warrant, you have to have some kind of probable cause or some justification.
It's too
much
going
on. You can't just go in there and say, we think there's something going on and we want to go in there and look around. You have to be able to say something.
Right. Why would the neighbor change the story? That's what got me. First you say you didn't hear nothing, then you hear something.
Exactly. Two times this neighbor said, I didn't hear anything. And by the third interview, now the neighbor goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, I did hear it.
Yeah, I was outside and they told me, go on in, back in your place. Come on, there's too much going on here.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, caller. Too much.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
too much slick stuff.
That was just too much. I mean, like I said, there was nothing cohesive about the group that showed up first. When they show three people, and I tell you, law enforcement has their own level. Detectives are with detectives, cops are with cops. They're all different levels. When you become a cop, you get promoted to detectives. And they don't usually, they hang out, but they don't hang out together. Usually when the cop shows up to somewhere first, and then the detective shows up to investigate. But this situation here, then where was the real specialist? Where was the people that, if you look at the show Chicago PD, where they have the guys work upstairs, they're in intelligence.
Yeah.
Where's the intelligence group that that's what they do?
But it was clearly no intelligence.
No, there was no intelligence
event.
At all. Anyway, thanks for the call, caller.
Okay.
All right, just going to keep it moving.
Yeah, we'll keep it moving.
Yeah, but that whole thing, though, has just been slowly unraveling.
And then the thing on top of it, too, you know, just to hold that discussion for a minute, is that district attorney, man, he just seems so out of his league, you know? He's so out of his league because, see, now anything I do with district attorney, I'm sure Barr got in his ear, you know, because, one thing about Trump and Barr, they worry about everything that has to do with nothing. I'm going to talk about that later on because, see, nobody's worrying about these fires in California. And I'm watching the news, and I'm watching these fire trucks ride down these little highways, and there's fires on both sides. There was a man that had his whole winery just burnt to the ground. Mm-hmm. And Trump and Pence ain't saying nothing about these fires. Mm-hmm. And these fires are, like, vicious in California.
Well, wait, let me
interject
this.
Vicious.
Trump has something to say about them during the so-called debate.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said that the problem is there needs to be better forest management.
Well, that's not
that's
about
what he
said, but that's
the
that,
issue.
Well,
but he wasn't trying to deal with it at a federal level.
Yeah, well, you know, come on, everybody
there's money going to California.
You can all talk about
it. What's crazy is that most of those forest areas are federally owned. They're not state owned. Some of them are, but the majority of them are federally owned.
So the government is responsible for taking
exactly.
care of
them. Exactly. You don't want a government.
But see, but that's
so
but
Trump
that's
against
but the timbers are burning now.
Yeah.
You can't blame, you know, if your wife burns the house down, what you going to do? You're going to say, damn, you stupid.
Trump was saying that, well, when you have dead trees and dead limbs that fall and
you know,
on the ground, that they need to get out there and clean that stuff up.
Well, that's,
and then it won't be so much stuff.
but that's Monday morning quarterbacking. That is not.
I'm just saying, how crazy. But he wants people to go out there and, like, rake the forest up.
Well, no, I'm just, you know, this is no joking matter.
This is what I'm saying. That's
that
the idiocy of the
serious
that he
business.
Says.
Yeah,
that fire had destroyed people's lives.
Well, let's see what's
going to
happen before the election, Papa. Let's see what's going to happen. He's going to do anything. But let me get to this last story, a hot topic, before we get into the hidden and cured.
Okay.
Ooh, this is a voting rights advocate sued to block Texas governor's order limiting counties to one ballot. Drop-off location.
Mm.
Voting rights advocates have filed a lawsuit against Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Put him on the Kissing list.
Greg Abbott?
Yep, Greg Abbott. Two B's and two T's. Contending that his new order limiting mail ballot drop-off locations to one per county burdens voters and undermines the public's confidence in the election itself. The complaint filed late Tuesday in federal court seeks to block enforcement of an order Abbott issued Thursday and to allow counties to offer multiple ballot drop-off locations ahead of a projected rise in mail-in voting during the general election. It goes on to say the impact of this 11th-hour decision is momentous. Targets Texas' most vulnerable voters, older voters, and voters with disabilities, and results in wild variations in access to absentee voting drop-off locations, depending on the county a voter resides in. So the legal action came hours after Abbott issued his order, a move that Democrats and voting rights advocates decried, saying it was aimed at suppressing the vote. Abbott said having a single drop-off location per county is necessary for ballot security, echoing unfounded claims by President Trump about the risk of voting by mail. Here you go. He on the same page with Donald Trump.
Mm.
So what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
So this is basically voter suppression once again.
Yes, ma'am. The same shit, different.
All dressed up.
Yep.
It's like they say you can put a suit on a monkey, but it won't make them a man. So they're doing the same old mess over and over. Uh-oh. Hey.
Yep, over and over again.
Doing it over and over.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to play out. So they're going to be going back and forth in court to see if they can get some more of the, you know, places where you can drop off the ballots.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
You would think they would be adding more places.
Yeah,
not
you know,
less.
You can't. You know, when you are doing so many provisions to prevent something, you're running so scared, and then these are grown people. You know,
yeah,
I don't understand
so.
That why.
Grown,
why? How old is that governor?
You're right.
I don't know.
I mean, man, I tell you,
Greg Abbott.
One thing about a cult, when you're being led by a cult, you don't even realize once the cult is lifted and now you've escaped from the cult, you don't even realize the stuff that you've done while you're part of that cult. And that's what Trump has these people. They're so afraid of their careers because they think that they, as long as they follow Trump, they'll be cool.
Right.
But they don't realize that when it comes to election time, they got their own elections to worry about.
Yeah, he's 62.
Because, let me tell you something. It is almost just as good. Now, even if Trump wins the election, but let's just say that the Democrats win the Senate and they already have the House. What if they win the House and the Senate? That's what Barack was up against.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barack couldn't make a move in either direction.
Nope.
He was by himself up there. That's why he had to do so many, what do you call those, the orders, what do you got to sign?
Executive orders.
Yeah, he was doing the executive order. I'm going to bypass all y'all, you know, fuck all y'all, you know.
Yeah.
Because he had a Republican Senate, Republican Congress.
Dealing with a bunch of jerks.
So if Trump had that, see, the only reason why Trump's able to do his thing now is because your boy Mitch is doing his thing with that. But if you have a Democrat Senate,
yeah.
Whoo, that's powerful too.
Mm-hmm.
That could stop the president. So,
but check out his previous jobs. He was Texas Attorney General, 2002 to 2015. And he was Associate Justice of the Texas Supreme Court, 96 to 2001.
Mm.
So he's held some big, things. Like I say, he's 62. So he's in that category.
So then there's no excuse for him to act so ignorantly.
Like Papa said, he's following in Trump's
mm-hmm.
whatever BS.
Yeah, but when they go to vote,
yeah,
he's on his own ballot.
Yeah,
you
can't help them there.
You know, unless people go in there and vote straight Republican,
right?
Which people usually do nowadays. Nobody goes in a booth anymore and just goes. You know, they don't freelance.
Right.
Everybody just pulls the big blue or the big red lever, and so be it. You know, and if you would go down and just pick people you want to pick on there, it would be a lot more that way. Now, if you don't. Go all blue, you know, because people can have their preferences. But I'm just hoping, I mean, this is going to be very interesting, man. I tell you, I just think this election is going to be worse than the OJ trial.
Ooh.
When the separation of blacks and whites, remember how that was?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
not really worried
about
when Trump made that comment during the alleged debate
mm-hmm.
and said he wanted all his supporters to go to the polls and
yeah.
watch
yeah. Yeah.
everything that's going on.
Well,
already have people who do that
yeah,
as
but
part
see, that's
of the election
that's
process.
That's a dog whistle for people that are illegal, that are out there
right.
doing stuff.
But here's
doing
the thing.
Stuff.
You can't just go in there and do that.
Well, when do they care about
so
Kent?
All of the different, you know,
when do they care
attorneys
about Kent?
And generals and whatever of different states are saying, look, I'm just letting everybody know now that is illegal. You will not be able to come up in here and do that. And if you try to do it, you will be arrested.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
see, once again,
seen.
Trump tells people
to
do stuff
seen.
That is not in accordance with
right.
the law.
And they'll do it.
Right.
They'll
but,
do it.
Yeah,
they will
right.
do
that's
it.
That's him talking to his people.
Yeah.
That he's
say.
Talking to his I'm
yep.
telling
and
you that.
And all these people who run
if you don't recognize,
saying, you
if you don't
rec- and you're going to get
let
arrested.
Let me tell you something. When Trump talks, if you don't recognize that dog whistle is being blown, then you are so out of touch.
For sure.
It's
no,
not
all I'm
even
saying
funny.
Is that he's leading people down a garden path as always.
Well, that's what he does. He's a bully.
I'm
I mean,
like,
that's what a bully
your
does.
People, why are you setting them up to get locked up?
They're not going to get locked up. You kidding me? They got too much power. They got too much
who
power.
Got power? You're talking about Great these line. Common citizens?
Right.
No, who do you mean
okay.
who has all this power?
Let me tell you something. As long
I'm
as,
talking about these common citizens.
Long
if
as,
they show up
as
and try
long
to observe.
As long as Barr is the
Attorney General,
he's in charge of all the law all over the world. So no matter what they get busted with, yeah, you
time.
Keep thinking that. Okay, so you're living in that la-la world.
You know, I'm in the reality, man. I'm trying to tell you.
All right, so why was
the people who are in charge of the states that are monitoring the elections all over the country have already come out and said, if people try to intimidate people trying to observe the voting process, that they will be arrested.
By who?
Period. By the police and all the different
And you
states.
Think the police going to be preoccupied with elections and people robbing banks and killing people and everything else? What makes you think
Come
the police
on, man.
Got,
you act
what
like
makes you
three
think,
cops and everything.
What makes you think that the police got time to
this
sit?
This is one of the most contentious
Yeah, but that does not
ever.
Mean that people aren't.
You don't think the police are going to be there?
It doesn't mean people have stopped robbing banks or raping people or
that's
domestic
terrific.
Violence. That hasn't stopped.
Ain't
and everything
saying
has,
that that's not going to be done.
Do you realize
I'm
that
just saying the police are going to be there.
Well, if you guys got any questions or comments on either side, give us a call. 914-803-4306.
Press
1.
The police are dispatched based on priority. And you know what the biggest priority is for the police out there?
The election?
Oh, no.
On election day, it will be.
No.
Trust and believe.
What is one of the, what is the one of the biggest priorities of police dispatch?
I don't know. You tell me.
Domestic violence. Domestic violence. If somebody call and say the husband and wife is fighting in the street, you'll see 9 cars out
and
there.
And I will say it again. On election day, that will be the
here
priority.
We, go.
We have to wait and see.
Here we
All
go.
Right. Well, we're going to take a little...
Yeah,
and
let's
come
take
back
a break.
With our hit and quitters. I don't know if we're going to hit them and quit them. No,
we're going to try.
We're
yep.
taking apps for another commentary.
We'll be right
here.
Back after the break.
Red Wine going to be negotiating.
Papa Didi's job is on the line. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Pajama Party. I'm one of the hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Lame Duck Red Wine.
Really?
She's on her final days. You say something else crazy in support
that is
of Trump.
Disrespectful.
And I got news I'm going to
no,
call
but this
Uber.
Is a talk show, and we all have the freedom
no, this is,
to voice
this,
our opinion.
This is a studio, and,
no
Uber, and Uber picked
how
up here. So you keep talking.
One person, Papa Didi,
we
maybe
call her Uber driver and get her out of here.
We can all voice all right. our opinion.
Uber, take her away.
So don't get it confused.
Send me the bill.
Oh,
I'll pay for it. What a tip.
Y'all finished fighting now? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get into this crazy, this story here. Google is going to pay $1 billion over 3 years for news content. Trying something new. This is out of London. Google will pay publishers $1 billion over the next 3 years for their content. The company said on Thursday that it has signed agreements for its news partnership program with nearly 200 publications. Check this out. Different foreign countries. Germany, Brazil, Argentina, Canada, UK, and Australia. This financial commitment, our biggest to date, will pay publishers to create and curate high-quality content for a different kind of online news experience. Okay. Google's News Showcase is launching in Brazil and Germany. It will appear first on Google News on Android, then Apple iOS, before it will be rolled out to Google Discover and Search. The funding builds on a news licensing program launched by Google. Okay, they're trying to do something different. The pressure has been rising over compensation in a number of countries for Google and Facebook. I guess they figure they got so much money. Australia's government is drafting a law to make Facebook and Google pay the country's media companies for the news content.
Wow.
Okay.
So they can't get all that news for free anymore, huh?
Right. Wow. Interesting. They said Facebook last year unveiled its own plan to pay U.S. news companies, including Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, USA Today for their headlines. That was about $300 million over 3 years. So.
That is interesting because all of those services do have news articles that end up on their site.
Yeah.
You know,
and
usually
that's where they
because,
begin.
Well, usually because people who subscribe to the site post articles.
Yeah.
You know, you're tagging stuff, you're posting stuff, you see an interesting article.
Right.
And I guess, you know, the people who who own that content are feeling like we're not getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're the hard workers.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, that Wall Street Journal, man, they've been in business for a long time. I've learned a lot of different strategies because a lot of CEOs and everything live by some of the commentary that come at. They had a thing one time. They said, well, if you pay people less money, they'll work harder. And all these different analogies, and some of these big-time CEOs live on that. And they take their lower-level employees, and they put all these theories to it just to see if it'll work. And it's crazy, and people kind of fall for that crap. And I'd be like, are you kidding me? And this is why CEOs are able to make so much money, because they allow people down on the lower level to they start battling against each other, as you know. Co-workers now start battling because they find a couple of them amongst the co-workers. Well, I'll say this for what's popping. Let me shut up. Anyway, but, yeah, that's a very interesting topic. We'll get back with that because.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
They got a big circulation. Wall Street Journal.
Yes, they do.
Almost 3 million.
There used to be another publication out, too. That I used to get
USA
stuff
Today?
From. Something called it the Kipling or something
Kipling
like that.
Report, yeah.
Yeah, Kipling Report. I used to peep that back in the day because I was one of them little, I was one of them studious guys. I was hungry for knowledge.
They said.
And the Kiplinger had like wasn't even a paper, it was almost like a pamphlet kind of thing that opened up like you know.
They had the headquarters over there in Hinesville.
Is that right?
Kipling Building. Condos and everything. Home Depot was over there now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where it used to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember them. I remember them well.
Yeah.
Remember them well.
Who's up next?
Who we got?
I'll go.
Red Wine? Oh, okay.
Oh, Red Wine?
Said he'll go. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I know Red Wine's lazy. Anyway, our hit and quit it. Nearly 20,000 Amazon workers have tested positive for the COVID virus, COVID-19.
Wow.
Now, where's your boy, what's his name, Basil on all this?
Jeff Bezos?
You don't hear him at all. He's like a silent CEO.
He's sitting up in a tower with a mask on.
Well, with his new girl. You know, he
probably don't have a mask.
Well, he divorced his wife. She walked away with more money than he has his money.
He bought his mask on Prime.
Anyway, Amazon said to Thursday that nearly 20,000 of its frontline U.S. workers have tested positive for presumed positive for the virus that causes COVID-19. But the online retail revealed the data for the first time, saying that the infection rate of the employees was well below what the same U.S. government averages are based on the population of the company. Now, what the hell is that about? Now you're going to say, oh, well, being we got 100,000 jokers, you know, if we got 20,000 that fucked up, it's cool.
Huh?
It's
yeah,
cool.
That's
it's,
a low percent.
One is not cool. You know what I mean? One is not cool. Just like when Trump's saying, well, we'll lose a few people during the disease. You know, well, why the hell would you talk so casual like that? What if a few people we lose was your ass? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy this here particular situation. But Amazon said in the corporate blog that it's providing the data as part of an effort to keep employees informed, to share details, and, you know, let people know that they're reporting stuff officially to the government. So when the government goes to issue their vaccines and all, that they'll be one of the first line people to get the recovery situation.
Right.
But I don't buy the whole topic of saying that, you know, we're going to deal with casualties like that. Like, it's collateral damage. Let me see the words I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, why you focus on... You focus on collateral damage was when it has nothing to do with you or your family.
Mm-hmm.
Once a member of your family, it's not so collateral, is it? Because you don't feel the pain somebody else is feeling. So this article is bullshit that Amazon is putting out, saying, well, that's below the average. 20,000 people, we have over 500,000 employees, so 20,000 is just, you know, just... Well, one is too many.
Yeah.
You're dead. Your ass ain't lying in a coffin, dead motherfucker. So who the hell are you saying somebody else's death is casual, or is you know? I'm just saying. Let me back off of that.
Whoa, Papa Didi firing on both. What is that? Both pistons.
Well, that's why we firing you, Red Wine, because you don't put it in like that.
All right, come on, Red Wine. What you got?
Anyway, back to when we were talking about voter suppression. Trump's at it, doing his thing to suppress the vote.
Trump says, you probably heard him say this, that he's done more for black Americans than any other president other than Lincoln. And he says that his advisors are also touting the idea that he could significantly increase his share of the black vote, both nationally and in the key swing states, from the 8% he got in 2016. I'm like, dang, that's all you got of the black vote in 2016 was 8%?
Yeah. So, what you got to lose?
The Trump campaign is now putting money where their mouth is. So they started on September 30th, launched a campaign announced, so that doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but they announced a six-figure advertising buy on cable networks and certain radio markets, I guess where black folks are. They put ads out that explicitly target the African-American vote. So in one TV ad, they got former NFL player Jack Brewer, who's a black person, who says that he supported Barack Obama previously, but now he supports Donald Trump. And he says in the ad, it's okay because Donald Trump created the best job market and economy for black Americans and Americans of all races. Yeah, okay. Who's this football player? Put him on the kiss it list.
What's his name again?
Jack Brewer. Who is he?
I don't know, but he sounds like
I don't even know who he is, no.
He sounds like he knows black people so well.
Yeah, so well.
It's amazing how everybody...
Jack Brewer.
You know what's so deep?
B-R-E-W-E-R.
Yeah, let's run it by our tech news.
Yeah, let's get the research team and look him up.
Oh, my God. He's a former football safety. He played professionally in football. Minnesota Vikings, Giants, Eagles.
What is he, black, white? What is his name?
He played for four different teams.
Yeah, it looks
so that
like
that says people didn't really want him.
Like Tyler Perry.
He's black?
Yeah, he's black. But wait, you said he was on four different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Looks like a nerd.
What year was he playing? You know?
He's 41, so probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 15.
So he's somebody that nobody really knows other than his parents and his family, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
In a Republican coup or...
Yeah.
Or,
so the ad offers images of black people working and doing different things, and it shows Trump signing the criminal justice reform bill. And then there's a radio spot that hits Biden talking about the 1994 crime bill. I'm like, okay, that was in 94. Why are we still talking about that? So he's talking about how the 94 crime bill that Biden signed that put millions, that's what the ad says, put millions of black men in prison for nonviolent crimes. And then it highlights Trump's recent promise to create 3 million new jobs and 500,000 new black-owned businesses in his next term. And I'm like, first of all, if you had ability to do all that, why didn't you do it in your first term? But you're promising you're going to do all this in your second term.
Well, you know, the crime bill, you know, that situation that came along, it was definitely promoted. Black people was the one that really suffered. And Bill Clinton was a part of that as well. It was Bill Clinton, it was Giuliani and all of them, you know, and they kind of, you know, the stop and search and all that jazz came and with that. And black people were the victims of it only because people felt like now they had a right to go in harder on black people.
Mm-hmm.
It was full been for the whole world. When you sign a crime bill, it don't say the black crime bill.
Right.
It was a crime bill.
It was a crime
but
bill.
But black people that didn't like blacks from the beginning or wanted to go after black or go up a black person's asshole, that was their ability to do it. And that's why it got so vicious. And then when when Bill Clinton saw what was happening and Biden saw what was happening, they were like, oh, shit, what did we unleash? You know, because now, I mean, they wouldn't pull no white folks in the beginning, so they should have saw the handwriting on the wall before you gave people more privilege to pull people over, because the only people being pulled over was us. So when you gave people the right to just open up our fucking trunk just by pulling us over, it got deep. It got crazy, especially in New York with Giuliani. Oh, my Lord.
Well, that's what happens when people put stuff out there before they
check out who is the target audience, so to speak.
But, you know.
And
but,
they weren't really looking at that. They
yeah,
were just
but,
saying,
right, but
this
let me,
will take care
but,
of the issue.
But to make my point, though, as we go forward as black people or as a people, that's another area of life that we, I wouldn't say we survived it, but we was able to ease out of it and don't lose our whole race, you know what I mean? And was able to recognize it and get people to apologize for the shit. And Trump hopefully feels, I mean, Biden hopefully feels bad about it. And Bill Clinton feels bad about it. Giuliani is just fucking overjoyed about it. So, you know, I'm just saying, it's just stuff that has tagged us. But for this guy here to bring it up, long, right now, Trump has superseded all the bullshit. You know what I mean? You can't.
Okay.
Trump done fucking
I mean,
over.
He's comparing himself to Lincoln.
You know.
And say, I've done more for black
yeah,
people
crazy.
With the possible
you know,
exception of
but
Lincoln.
But see, the thing that bothers me when anybody says anything about black people, people don't realize how many shades of black there is. And
we're not
going
a monolithic
home.
Society.
People think we're. You know what gets me too? And
black
I, like I said, I'm going
to
save this for my second. I'm
not
going
to.
You know, stick around if you're out there. Stick around, cause when I go into what's popping, I'm going hard. I'm oh shit, I'm going.
All
I'm
right, I got one last hit in
going
quick.
Do thing.
Out of Berlin, Germany, a German privacy watchdog said Thursday that it is fining clothing retailer. Here we go, H&M. $41 million after the company was found to have spied on some of its employees in Germany.
What?
Yep.
This wasn't about those monkey shirts.
No, not this time. The information was recorded on a network drive accessible to up to 50 managers and used, among other things, to obtain a detailed profile of employees to measure and decisions regarding their employment. Come on now, you can't do that. The privacy violation was discovered after the data briefly became visible to all people on the company.
Come on,
network,
y'all.
Resulting in news reports about the information gathered. H&M, put them on the kisser list.
I'm on the list.
Said in a statement that the practices in Nuremberg didn't correspond to company guidelines, but that it is nevertheless took full responsibility and had apologized to the employees. The company said it would examine the fine issued.
After they put people's business out on Main Street,
yeah,
and you're gonna say, "Oh, but our bad."
So this must be the owner of H&M, Casper, welcomed H&M's decision to pay compensation to employees at the Nuremberg Service Center and take measures to prevent future privacy breaches.
Yeah. Okay.
Show the intention to give the employees the respect and appreciation. Are you serious, really? See, if this was never found, they would have been using it for the employees.
It would have continued.
Yeah, somebody put it on their site. They ought to be shot. H&M, they back in the news again.
And they back on the kissing list.
Yep, put them on the kissing list. So.
All right. Was that the last hit and quit it?
Yep.
All right, welcome back to Pajama Party. One, your host, Papa D. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir, darling. Ay, ay, ay. It's time for Kettle. And the cocktail of the week. What you got
well,
for us tonight?
Tonight we sipping on, it's called the Maker's Mark 46 / Bailey's Irish Cream.
Ooh,
and it's
so it's a Bailey's 46?
There you go, it's a bomb diggity.
Ooh.
Well, I got a little, I don't know what this glass is, but you can put an old-fashioned glass. You're going to fill that with ice. You're going to put your Bailey's, no, I'm sorry. First, you put your Maker's Mark 46 in, or any bourbon or cognac of your choice. But we're drinking Maker's Mark 46 tonight. Pour that over ice with the Bailey's Irish Cream and just stir. That's it. And what you call it, Red Wine?
A Maker's 46.
Right.
No, Bailey's 46.
Bailey's 46.
Bailey's 46.
Let me write that down.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah,
yep.
Expensive. I feel like I'm eating filet mignon. Damn.
Bailey's 46.
It's a filet mignon of cocktail.
And it's got
hey,
the real Bailey's
I like
in
that.
It.
Right there.
Got the real Bailey's in there.
Write that down, too.
Right. Ain't no fake me out Carolines or any other, you know, they give you like 9 Irish creams if you don't want to spend that Bailey's money.
Yeah, but this is the original Bailey's. They have, do have other flavors, but
other types of Irish cream.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
I'm just talking about different flavors of Bailey's ices. Get the original.
The original. Okay.
Yeah, makes me want a shimmy.
A lot of people use Carolines in place of people that want to cook.
It's nothing like Bailey's.
Yeah, that's true.
The category by itself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right, but it'll be on our website. All right. Well, we're going to get into Papa.
I'm shimmying.
Come on. What's Papa? What's
shimmy,
Papa?
Shimmy, Cocoa Pop.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, as we hit the halfway through the show at the 10 o'clock hour, man, I tell you, there's so much going on in the world today. I really sometimes don't even know what to talk about, but there's so much to talk about. You know, the one thing we have to look out for is the blindness and the hypnotic aspect of people that's going on.
Yeah.
The hypnotic aspect of what's happening out there today. You know, there's so many. It's almost like it's two type of white folks out there today. You know.
Really.
And I'm just afraid to death about the ones that are hypnotized with the whole cult situation. You know, when you go to work and you look at white folks, when you say something like Black Lives Matter, just say it casually. Well, what do you mean by that? You know, when they come off to you like that, you get scared to death because you're saying, damn, this person's so out of touch. When you're not even trying to put, and then you got to break down shit just so you can survive the workday. You know, you got to talk like you got to talk all casual. That's why I'm glad I have a radio show where I can talk about the motherfuckers on Friday night. You know what I mean? And excuse the expression, but that's what I would do. Because, you know, people, they think they know life, but they really don't. So a lot of people of another persuasion, and I won't even focus on white or Caucasian, or yeah, we'll just say another persuasion, use the code, you know. And you know, people of
say it how you feel,
the cartoons,
yeah,
murder
sure.
cartoons, you bang somebody here, they go, anyway,
say it how you feel it.
You know, you look at the people and you say, wow, I never knew you were like that. I never knew that you were so pro who you are, but it's only on skin color. I mean, if you're going to hate me for something, hate me for something a little stronger than a damn skin color. What the hell is that about? Y'all the motherfuckers go to the beach to get a goddamn tan every summer. You lay out butt ass naked so you go, oh, I got a full tan. Okay, does that mean you were naked? Butt ass naked on your front? You flip over the back and got that crack of your ass brown, everything else. You want everything brown. They don't want a print of a bathing suit. Girl, I'm brown all over. Oh yeah, when nobody's around, I got an even tree on the beach, girl. I got butt ass naked. I got brown all up my ass crack. And they love that shit. And even when you're in the office, you're not paying them too much attention, they come and say, girl, looking like on a Monday when they come back to work from the weekend in the summertime, a hot summer July day. Look at you. Look how brown you are. Oh, my God, girl. You're so brown. I'd be like, fuck. How the hell do you hate Negroes and you fucking bragging about being brown? Where the fuck is the middle ground in that shit? I don't understand. I don't understand the logic of that shit. It happens every summer. Every summer they bust their ass to go to Ocean City or whatever, and they want to come in the office Monday morning and say, whoa, look at Karen. Oh, my God, somebody's brown. And they say it out loud. And black folks be like, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck complexion? What does that mean? What the hell? I mean, you know, we're just so dumbfounded of the fucking background noise that these stupid white motherfuckers are projecting. It's crazy. And, you know, we deal with it. We sit in the office and say, this is some bullshit. These motherfuckers hate our fucking guts, but they love to be brown. Mm-hmm. You know, and they brag about this shit. Anyway, I won't dwell on that. But all I'm saying is that the whole hypnotic aspect that Trump has put people in, they're brainwashed. And then it was proven when the little guy over there in that town where where he shot the two people. He's walking around with a fucking long gun. Nobody arrested his ass, and he shot two people. Well, somebody should have shot right back at his ass. Mm-hmm. Then he threw his ass up, his hands up in defeat, and the cops, and he pulls over because they saw white skin. So they rode right by his ass. Why is this shit becoming a skin color thing? What gets me is that you're living like it is not, and I'm ease down on this here. You're living like we're living in 1965, 68, when Martin Luther King was murdered. You act like we're living in those time frames when it was a black and white thing. It's not black and white no more. Now it's Spanish. It's Ethiopian. It's Middle Eastern. You know what I mean? It's Somalian. It's all fucking colors of the rainbow out there today. And everybody's fucking everybody. So the fucking kids are fucking caramel color. You might as well name the motherfuckers Crayola. Because them bitches are 9 different colors. So how are you going to justify nowadays who is actually black? Don't let the hairstyle fool you or the hair grade fool you. Or the complexion fool you, because somebody could be almost looking white as snow, but the mother could be black, or the father could be white. You don't know who's who today, but you still got the same old lame-ass reason why you're hating because of skin color. But wake up, what they call them, the Proud Boys or whatever? Yeah. Wake up, Proud Boys. The only people that ain't fucking everybody is your white stupid asses. Y'all little white motherfuckers ain't fucking nobody with your 3 inches of white steel between your legs. 3 inches of dick between your legs, jacking your dick most of the time. And, you know, and you guys don't know what's happening in the world. Other people, Spanish people, black people, Ethiopian people, Middle Eastern people, they are fucking all day and making babies and making shit and creating shit and bringing new shit. You'll see a motherfucker with orange hair, brown skin, brown fucking eyes, and big-ass lips. You'll be like, what the fuck is that? Wow. That fucking semen mixed with that motherfucking vagina juice turned into some wild shit. So all I'm saying is that y'all don't even know who the fuck you're shooting at because everybody's fucking everybody. So you don't even know who you're shooting at. The color of the rainbow exists. Crayola is alive and well. So watch how you pull that fucking trigger because I got news for you. Y'all just don't know. That shit ain't black and white no more. I'm done. That's all I got to say.
Ooh-wee! Ooh.
What?
Man, I'm a drink to that.
I feel like I should have had a condom or something for that. That thing was raw.
Woo! Watch out now.
It was right.
I'm just saying.
It was raw, but it was right.
I'm just saying.
I gotta give you a pound on that.
I'm just saying.
Well, we gonna
this shit ain't black and white no more.
No,
everybody
is I agree
fucking
with you on
everybody.
I agree.
Don't
I agree.
Think the
it's all gray. We need to get off the black and white. Everything
Ooh.
Is gray.
They don't even know.
Ooh.
They don't even know.
Well, they gonna know.
Yeah.
Well, we see more people. I'm sorry, Kat. I just wanted to say I have seen more people, particularly older white people, mm-hmm. with their grandchildren. And it's a little brown child.
Yep, it sure is. You
what about the girl?
You're not
what about the lady going up for judge? For the
oh, well, she got adopted.
Yeah, she adopted too.
But
she got five, but she adopted too. Yep.
Yeah.
But I do believe
sitting there, I was like,
I do believe her decisions are not going to be based on Donald Trump. She's going to base it on those children.
Damn it. Yeah. One of them is black.
That's
brown
what I'm saying.
And dark
yeah.
skin yoga. I'm
yeah.
like, whoa.
I'm saying, like when I do go out to the store and stuff. I have seen more elderly or older, I shouldn't say elderly, but older white men and women
mm-hmm.
with their little grandchildren. And you hear the grandchildren talking about grandma, grandpa. And these
you're
little
looking around like
brown kids.
Or
yeah.
very swirly.
Because their daughter married a black
and
man
like,
and he
okay.
that fucking, hey. And some of them, the child's undeniable.
Right.
Okay.
And they're not out here trying to hide their grandchildren.
Not at all.
They're out here proud
they
of their grandbaby.
They are loving that grandbaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's my brown baby. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? It's unfortunate, but it's going to be a case like that. Some white damn jackass is going to say, that's not your grandchild.
Oh, yeah, it's always
somebody.
Somebody
white or somebody black. I mean, that.
Like, whose child is that? What are you, a daycare provider? You a nanny or something?
They're going to be
like, that's my grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
Back off.
Mm-hmm. But
all right, where are we now?
We're going to lighten it up a little bit. I'll take the first one. That's my usual. We're going to lighten it up.
Oh, we're going to the weird news?
Yeah, we're going to
the
weird news. Let's
hit it.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Here we go. Authorities used pear to entice a captured emu. Another emu. Listen,
Boston.
An emu that was spotted roaming the streets of a city near Boston was corralled by authorities in Massachusetts. The emu was reported on Wednesday morning in Haverhill, about 35 miles north of Boston, and was captured 2 hours later. The Eagle Tribune reported that the emu named Kermit, his name is Kermit.
Kermit.
You mean?
Kermit the emu.
That's the one that's on that commercial, the Liberty commercial.
Yes.
Escaped from the property of a local resident who cares for unwanted animals. The resident had been preparing to transport Kermit to a farm in Maine when it fled. Authorities say the bird was captured safely after it was given a pear from a nearby tree. Native to Australia, emus are the largest living bird after the ostrich and can reach up to nearly 100 pounds and a height of almost 6 feet. They run fast and can become aggressive.
Yeah, I've heard they can be aggressive.
I don't want to come across one of those.
You know what? I remember we did a weird news a while back where there was a couple of emus that were terrorizing some kind of outdoor bar.
Yes.
And they were in there pecking people and messing with stuff.
I know, that's,
yeah,
a wild bird.
They were doing all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a wild bird. But I tell you, Liberty Mutual really got that one trained to the max.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got it trained.
That's
Limu, Emu, and Doug.
And Doug, yeah.
That's an interesting commercial.
That's my people, too.
That's
I fuck
people.
With them. Yeah, I fuck with them.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I got one for you out of London.
Mm-hmm.
They said Subway bread is not bread, according to the Irish court. Yeah, this has become a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
This thing went all the way to Ireland Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
Ireland Supreme Court ruled that the bread sold by Subway contains so much sugar that it cannot be legally defined as bread.
What? Some people.
Hey, the ruling came as in a tax dispute brought by Bookfinders Limited, which is an Irish Subway franchisee, which argued that some of its takeaway products, including teas and coffees and heated sandwiches, were not liable for value-added tax. People always trying to duck taxes.
Yeah, I know.
So a panel of judges rejected the appeal on Tuesday of this week, ruling that the bread sold by Subway contains too much sugar to be categorized as a staple food, which is not taxed. So I guess if it was a staple food, like stuff you need to survive, then they don't tax it. So they say there's so much sugar in this, this is not bread, it's not a staple food. So the law makes a distinction between bread as a staple and other baked goods like cookies and confectionery things, fancy baked goods, etc. Subway disagreed and said that our bread, of course, is bread. We have been baking fresh bread in our restaurants for more than 3 decades, and our guests return every day for sandwiches made on bread that smells as good as it tastes. So the Bookfinders, that franchisee, says they are appealing the decision by authorities who refused to refund the value-added tax payments that they had previously made, and the lower courts dismissed the case before it even got to the Supreme Court. So Subway said they are reviewing the latest tax ruling, and they added that the decision was based on an outdated bread exemption set by the Irish government back in 2012.
Are you serious?
So they fighting over
8 years ago? Come on, y'all.
They say there's too much sugar in it. They said this is really more like a baked confectionery good thing.
Like a fucking donut.
Like
exactly.
A
donut or a muffin.
But see, as Americans, we don't listen to that, but they're keeping it real.
Yeah.
They're saying this
shit
is like, yo.
This crap.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that's a staple food. You don't need this.
Yeah, you don't need it, right.
That could be the draw why people like
stuff. They're saying you don't
need
it.
That's probably why their bread is so good.
Yeah.
Because when you go in there, you can't help but smell how good that bread is.
And I get the Italian joint with the fucking cheese on it and all that shit.
I like that four cheese.
I get the worst one. I get the worst one.
Give me the wheat. Give me the
wheat. Now, I'm wondering how much sugar is in that crap.
Enough for me to eat it, then shoot insulin in my ass.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm done with you, Papa Didi. We're
gonna keep
moving.
The last weird news is these gray parrots. Gray parrots, I guess, is a terminology for different type of parrots, but gray parrots are separated at the zoo after swearing a blue streak. Swearing meaning they curse.
Oh, my.
That they be cussing. And, you know, parrots can talk.
Parrots are cussing?
Fuck you.
He gonna give us a rundown.
Anyway, this happened in London.
He gonna do a demo.
A British zoo has had to separate 5 foul-mouthed parrots who the keepers say they're encouraging each other to swear.
Ooh-wee.
Okay, now they got over 20 of them in the zoo, but 5 of them are just carrying on. All right, and their names are Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Ellis. They joined the Lincolnshire Wildlife Center colony of, 200 gray parrots in August.
Wow.
200. And soon revealed a penchant of blue language.
Mm.
Now, they had 200 respectable parrots in there, and now they all cursing their ass off.
So,
okay?
I bet you it was Billy.
Now, well, anyway, they said that we are quite used to parrots swearing. You know, we never had 5 at the same time, said the zoo chief executive. His name is Stephen Nichols. Most parrots, they clam up outside, but for some reason, these 5, they just relish when they go outside. See, they stay indoors at night, but outside, they go out there to entertain the different people to visit the zoo, okay? Nichols said that no visitors are complaining because they kind of find it kind of funny. Because when they go next to the parrot just says, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. And the people just fucking laugh and they do videos and everything of that.
I bet they do.
And but the people said that we had to move the 5 ones that curse the most just because it's too vicious for the kids' ears.
See,
and the little kids
are
repeating it. So
I think Billy is the ringleader.
So that's the dilemma right now. Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Ellis are some cursing-ass parrots.
Out of the 5 of them.
And,
I think Billy is the leader.
They had to put them in there. They had to segregate
them. Billy. So they separated them?
They separated them, yeah.
Aw. They'll be lonely without their cousin friends. All right. And where is this again?
London.
London. Okay. All right.
Welcome back to the Pajama Party. One of your hosts, Papa D. I'm here with Kettle. And red wine.
Bonsoir, darling.
Okay.
Oh, my.
We're going to turn over to red wine. We've been debating whether or not to replace her.
Whatever.
So, we're checking, let's see, what sites are we checking? We're checking LinkedIn and...
I just did an intro.
What other sites that hire people?
Okay, I'm going to do my own intro.
Indeed.
It is time for red wine.
Indeed and LinkedIn.
I'm just saying.
Put your application in. The job pays
Papa
$8.50 an hour.
You're stepping on my segment.
$8.50 an hour.
Darling, you're on my segment.
And we're trying to replace her. So go to LinkedIn or Indeed.
That's not
okay.
In your,
I'm just saying
right.
Tonight. I want to say, as far as that debate, what the hell was that? I was really interested and looking forward to this debate because I just wanted to see. How was Biden going to do standing up against 45? And I was really, I don't know what to say, disappointed, confused, perplexed, and I ended up with a headache by the time it was over. That was one of the craziest displays of adult behavior I think I have seen in quite some time. These two grown men ended up just talking over top of each other, predominantly Trump. But after a while, you could see that Biden was getting so frustrated that he started talking over Trump. And it just was like ongoing. It got to the point where Chris Wallace, the moderator, at one point was like, I'm the moderator here. And he told Trump at one point, do you want to be the moderator?
Mm-hmm.
You can come and sit in my chair. It was out of freaking control. And, I mean, for them to try to, Chris Wallace was doing all he could do to try to keep them in these, like, 15-minute segments based on a question.
Right.
But it was like you ask Trump a question, and he would be like, well, let's talk about such and such. And he was just like way out left field with something else. It was just insane. Yeah. It was disappointing for, what was that thing, like 90 minutes? I'm serious. I had a headache by the time it was over. At one point, no, more than one point, at multiple points, all three of them were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is like when they show multiple screens when you're trying to watch the football game. Your eyes don't know where to go. My ears didn't know what to listen to. I'm hearing Biden, Chris Wallace, Trump, and they're all going back and forth. Chris Wallace could not control them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something on Instagram where people were saying they need to get Samuel L. Jackson to moderate the stage. Because Samuel L. would be like, I said 2 minutes, mother. I was like, I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel L. would have shut that crap down.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been like, don't make me come up there and kick somebody. I mean, because you're telling them you have 2 minutes, I need you to respond to the question.
Right.
And the person is, they were so busy responding to the bull crap from the other person that the actual question was being disregarded. And I thought, you know what? Not only are these grown men, these are two old-ass grown men. I mean, do we really need to sit through 90 minutes of this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right out the gate. And when Trump started hitting what I felt like was below the belt,
mm-hmm.
when he started talking about Biden's son
yeah.
who had a drug problem, I'm like, wait a minute. What has that got to do with the status of America?
Mm-hmm.
There are drug-addicted people all over America. So if you wanted to talk about the problem of drug addiction in America, you should have addressed that.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even the question. So that shouldn't even have been a conversation.
Yep.
But the way he came up with, well, your son was kicked out of the military, dishonorably discharged, and I'm like, where you get that from? You who skirted going into the military with your so-called bone spurs, what do you know about serving in the freaking military? I don't even think he salutes properly when the people in the military salute him as commander and freaking chief.
He really doesn't. He don't know.
You know, you just doing a little thing like, you know, we all would do. Because I've never been in the military. I don't know the proper angle that your hand is supposed to be on your forehead. How high is your elbow supposed to be? There is a protocol to all of that. I don't know whether he knows it or not, but since he never served, my guess would be you don't know.
You don't know.
You're just imitating what you've seen.
You're right.
But for you to actually go there, and then when he started talking about Biden's son, who was allegedly paid by some Russian person's wife $3 million or $3.5 million, and he kept on just repeating it. Trump just kept saying it while Biden kept saying, that's not true. That's not true. And Trump just kept going. Chris Wallace was trying to rein him in, but they were totally ignoring him.
Right.
I'm like, if they could have pimp slapped him, they would have. They were totally ignoring him. And Trump just kept on going and going at it. And I was like, dude, that's not even what's being discussed. How can you be so rude and disrespectful? But I guess the answer to that is because you're a rude and disrespectful person. And now karma's biting you in the back of your backside because now you're dealing with being infected with the virus that you have disrespected and disregarded since back in, what, March? But I tell you one thing, he's not calling it the China virus now. You notice all the reports today were saying coronavirus. Ain't nobody talking China virus. That was his terminology. So all I'm saying is that was a debacle, and I hope they don't do that again. I don't even know if they're going to have any more debates after what they did. Now they got to change the rules and all of this because that was a hot mess. That was a hot steaming mess. So this is Red Wine, and I'm just saying, what the hell was that? I don't know what it was, but that was a mess. That was some crazy.
He's gone.
nobody knows. That was like a 90-minute argument between two old men and one man that was trying to get in the middle of it.
It started out okay, but after a while, I couldn't take it no more. I went to bed.
Lasted for about 3 minutes, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a free-for-all after
then they're talking about doing some different rules, like cutting off the mic and whatever.
But you can still hear the person on the stage can still hear the other person
mm-hmm.
talking.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the next one is supposed to be more like a town hall format
mm-hmm.
where they get questions from allegedly real people. So, we'll see.
We'll see. All right, that was a good one, real one.
Thank you, dear.
Welcome back to Pajama Party. One who is Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
What was that website you were talking? Indeed. Looking for replacements for Papa Didi. Oh,
no.
Bonsoir, darling. All right, it's time for Papa Didi and Living for the City.
You know what? I think
what you got for us, Papa Didi?
I think with Red Wine is just that time of the month. Okay.
That time of the month to fire you.
And she's fresh out of Kotex, so she's using wrapped up napkins.
Oh, here
we go. She's using paper towels. She's using paper towels.
It's time for Living for the City, Papa Didi.
She's using Walmart napkins to sop up.
Okay, do we have
sloppy,
to cut his mic
sloppy,
like they should have done on the
sloppy legs?
Yeah, we're going to have to
anyway, Red
mic.
Wine, don't go there because you sloppy like that. We're going to get you
cut
some.
Cut your mic, Papa Didi.
I'm going to get you some Kotex Modesta, girl. The big old purple box with them pads that's as big as.
They don't even make that crap.
What you got for the night, boy? What you got for
it's time for Living for the City. That stuff is sitting up in the Smithsonian somewhere. Hot mess. Hot mess.
All right, okay.
You all right, Papa?
Y'all
yeah,
been
I'm
with
okay,
us.
Boy. Y'all.
It's been one of those weeks, folks.
Yeah, anyway, let's just talk about going forward about, you know, who we are. You know, we got to represent who we are. You know, what gets me more than anything else is when people get on there, Trump and all them, they say, my black people. You know, I'm like, you know, you miniaturize the race to such a minute aspect when there's so many shades of black, it's not even funny. You know, I don't know whether white folks think we go to a certain neighborhood when we go home or where the fuck y'all think we go when we leave out the job. Oh, black people, you know, just because white folks drive an hour and a half to get to work or whatever, that's their business, you know what I mean? I ain't driving no fucking hour and a half to get to work. That just ain't me. I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, I'm only going to stay on this for a minute because I just don't understand when people just think that they know black people so well. And it really pisses me off to a degree where I'm like, listen, Trump says, well, black folks vote for me. What do you have to lose? I'm like, well, I don't really know what the fuck I have to lose. Tell me what I got to lose if I vote for your ass. You ain't doing nothing for me. I look at your cabinet. Your cabinet's all white. So it ain't like you're going to bring nobody that looks like me up into your cabinet, even if you get reelected. You know, the person you got is, what's that boy's name? This man who went from a brain surgeon. Fucking, what's his name?
Carson.
Yeah, Carson. What's his last name?
Ben Carson.
Oh, this man was a brain surgeon out of Hopkins in Baltimore. A brain surgeon. And Trump them reduced his ass to a ticker tape joker in the housing department. He's checking on jokers in the projects. I'm like, well, you think because he's a black man, he needs to oversee your projects? I mean, it's just amazing what the stuff that we've been reduced to, and we tolerate it. I don't understand. How do you go from being a brain surgeon to, instead of you being the surgeon general, you take the job as the HUD secretary where you're checking the color of the food stamps and shit, making sure it's the right color blue or right color, you know, food stamps, the blue one is the $25 joint. And the red one's a $10 joint. Well, you may not know. Red Wine, she's sophisticated. She don't know shit about food stamps.
Whatever.
She's a driveway. She ain't no parallel parker.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, y'all know you heard of them. You know, we ain't talking about Red Wine. Anyway, you know, another thing I want to focus on is I saw the video today of this girl that got harassed at the Popeyes in Capitol Heights. Now, you got this big-ass security guard. What does this boy weigh, about 300 pounds?
He looked like it.
Big-ass 300-pound guy. What happened is the girl came in the wrong door. They have doors like the entrance door and the exit door for the COVID. So she comes in the wrong door. He confronts her, and in typical, you know, black women's style, she fights back, you know what I mean? But what happened is that she got pissed off, so she threw her beverage at him.
Oh, Lord.
And instead of him kind of playing it off, and because he's a gun-carrying security guard in there. If you look at the video, he goes in his girl hard, little young, small, petite girl. He goes in hard at her, bangs her up against the door and everything, slams her in the corner. And while he's doing that, he's shaking his pepper spray joint like he's going to pepper spray her. And I'm like, wait a minute, you big, fat, no-pussy-getting motherfucker. Apparently, you got a problem with women because this little young girl was fine as hell. Now, if I was a security guard, I'd probably be cracking right at her ass, okay? No, this little motherfucker that just jacking his Johnson most of the time, you know, he's pissed because he ain't getting no pussy, okay? So he's like, I'm just going to whoop her ass because I know I can't fuck her, so I might as well beat her ass. Whatever your concept was, that was some wrong shit. And if you see the video of it, you hear about it, you know, and they tried to set up a perimeter of people protesting outside. It's the one in that mall. When you go down 95, right there by, what's it called? Help me out, Redwine. It's the one by, they got a...
one of those restaurants?
They got a Dave and Buster's there. They got the...
Oh, in Capitol Heights?
In Capitol Heights, yeah, the new joint.
Okay.
I think it's called the...
I forgot what that's called, that mall.
Yeah, anyway, it's but they got everything in there. They have Big Lots in there. They got everything. They got BJ's in there, and they got a Popeye's in there. And the food's pretty good. Now, I've been there a few times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll boycott it now, being the fact that we dogged that sister like it out in there. But they got this big-ass security guard in there. And all you ain't got nothing to do all day. But a young girl come in there, she went in the wrong door, and you confronted her, and when she yelled back at you, all you could think about is whooping her ass?
That's fair.
Well, I mean, my brother, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, this big old dude, you know, big old sloppy guy, security guard. He was a gun-carrying joker, too. One like he was, you know, because some security guards just carry nightsticks and whatever and walkie-talkies. But he was carrying a gun, so he was a real security guard.
Wow.
And he slammed her up against the wall, And after a while, she talked to the news people, and she was okay. You know, she was a strong black woman, thank God. But I can't believe you went into her that hard like that only because she came in the wrong door, and you feel like you got to represent your shit because, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. It just goes to show you what's going on in his life. You know what I mean? How uncasual he is. Because, see, when you're a man, a casual man, a bougie man doing your thing, getting your share of trim out there, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Your mind's a little more peaceful, you know what I mean?
Because
you're getting served the way you need to get served. You know, you got your little girlies out there, got your little side piece, you know. You're getting served, you know what I mean? Your testicles is relinquished of the, you know, of the back. That, Red Wine, no stop when I'm talking, okay? You had your segment. Nobody stopped you. So you're going to come in and say, we get it? What are you, my censor taker? Red Wine? Look, let me just put an announcement right now. We're hiring on a show for another commentator, okay? Because Red Wine's day's numbered, okay? She has been...
Oh, boy.
Do you find that funny?
Yes, I do find it amusing.
Anyway, we need
you're
to set...
You're funny, Papa Diddy.
We need to set you over to security guard.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
Leave that alone.
But like I said, let me get back to what I'm saying. The man had no right going into this young sister like that. Even though if she threw a thing of soda at you, you got to play it off as that being a female that you wouldn't bother. Like, wow, okay, get out of the store. Don't come back. I'm barring you from the store. But to ram her head up against the wall like that, brother, what the hell were you thinking? What are you thinking? And even I don't care if you're a security guard. What does that justify? And where'd you come from? Because it's so sad that a lot of people that are employed in places come from far away places. He could be working in Capitol Heights, but he could be from Alexandria somewhere. And people drive like an hour and a half to come down to their job. And they get there, and they don't know nobody there. They see a bunch of black folks in there, and they think that, like I said, like Donald Trump, my black people, like we're just some kind of alien group of people that are just roaming the earth and shit, and we need to be supervised.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I hate about people when they look at us like we're, you know, they don't know who we are, what we represent, what we go home to, but everybody's going to tell us what to do and how to live. That's what pisses me off about people. They like, look at you, and the same with Donald Trump. Vote for me, black people. What you got to lose? Well, I don't know what the fuck I got to lose. You know, tell me what I got to lose, because you sure ain't showing me what we look like in your cabinet. You have elected nobody but Ben Carson to represent us as far as a black person in your cabinet. Everybody else from pill to post is white. So what are you telling us about what we have to lose? I don't even know who you are, whether you know who we are. But that's a whole other story. But anyway, in the long run, as far as what just closing out on things here, when you go to vote, you know, in November, please, just you know, take it with a grain of salt. And don't be intimidated by people, because Trump done already announced he's going to send his people, right?
That's yep. Right.
Sure.
He's going to send people out to the polls, and them little boys in camouflage outfits going to be out there watching who's voting for who. And just be careful, you know, just manipulate them, you know, because be what they think we're not, you know. I mean, just be smart. Be wise. Just let yourself be free and be smart, and don't jump yourself, you know. That's all I got to say on the subject.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. We're kind of short on time. So I'm going to go to Hollywood.
All right. Come on, Papa. Come on. Give me my intro.
Come on, do your thing, Kettle.
All right. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend mourn loss of the baby after pregnancy complications. She goes on to Instagram. We never decided our baby's names until the last possible moment. After they're born, just before we leave the hospital, when we, for some reason, had started to call this little guy in my belly Jack. So he will always be Jack to us. Jack worked so hard to be a part of our little family. And he will forever be Jack. So it's unfortunate that she lost her, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. They had a miscarriage. And, you know, people were saying that, you know, it was good they're coming out and talking about it and everything. And, you know, might be able to heal somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. somebody else's family. So I'm quite sure they're going to try again. So hopefully there'll be another Jack, per se. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend lost their baby. Yeah. It's unfortunate. J-Lo. J-Lo has a new purse. Coach introduces the Coach times Jennifer Lopez Hutton bag as part of the global superstar's first collaboration with the house. Designed with creative director Stuart Burvers, and inspired by the values of authenticity and inclusivity that Coach and Lopez share, the bag reimagines the house's modern-day icon with Lopez's singular approach to style. That should
okay,
be real. Yeah. It's a cute little bag.
Yeah, but how much?
Jennifer Lopez and Coach
ain't cheap. Coach is not. Coach is not cheap at all.
I mean, it's like a little cut, but it has a little, you know, a little thing that you can put on your shoulder.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how much, but it should be coming out in stores shortly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez and Coach. Interesting. Yeah. Mariah Carey. And her memoirs, which was co-written with the writer and activist Angela Davis.
What?
Is an inclusive, entertaining, impressively well-written account of her road from poverty to obscurity to stardom. But its first half is a nearly unrelenting catalog of cruelty, brutality, and deprivation. Really? Had a lot going on. She really couldn't identify with herself. She didn't know, but she has Irish descent, black descent. She has a little bit of everything. Everybody knows, you know, she was married to Motello. He was a big producer. back in 93. Mm-hmm. They were like 15, 20 years apart as far as an age. But my take on it, I think she just married him just to advance her career because
mm-hmm.
he kind of just bought her out, and after that, the rest is history. Yeah. So, but she hadn't been able to keep a man since then, but that's another horse of another color.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj and husband Kenneth Petty.